Good morning. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, bringing you new nuggets of truth, I hope, to your hearts, and that you'll be blessed, and that you'll be excited to know the Lord Jesus is on his throne, and soon he is coming. Now, if you notice, and I don't want to get too far into this, but I want to make mention of it. If you notice that Russia is doing her thing, the people of the Middle East are doing theirs, and we are doing nothing. If you'll notice those things, you can tell we are most definitely in the last days. How far in, I don't know. And when the Lord Jesus will show himself, I don't know that. But I do know that the Lord Jesus is loving you and reaching out to you in this last time before his coming. After he has come, there will be no more opportunity, no more second guessing or second chances, as some people seem to think. The Bible is quite clear. He will come as a thief in the night. You won't be expecting him when he comes. It will happen. Well, now I want to take you into a place where the gospel is very definitely spoken, and the wonderful words of life are ours to receive from the Lord Jesus. I want to go into Luke and chapter 15. You have a Bible, you might want to turn there, and if not, just memorize some of the things. In the beginning of the chapter, in verse 1, we discover now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming to Jesus to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of the sheep, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Now, Jesus was talking in a very simple way that everybody understood. He was in a farming community, and in that community they had lots of sheep. And if you've messed with sheep, you know that they are the most wandering things in the world. The English at least solved the problem by having dogs so well trained that a dog can gather a flock of sheep and get them into a small area, and he can do exactly what the shepherd wants just with a whistle. Now, I've never mastered that, and I don't know what is said in the whistle. But I do know I've watched shepherds working on the Yorkshire moors with hundreds, maybe thousands of sheep at times, and they will move their sheep around so that the sheep get good food and don't eat all of it in one time. And they will keep them on the move until they've eaten enough, and then they'll rest them and so on. And all of that's done with a whistle. Not a whistle that you take out of your pocket and stick in your mouth, but a whistle that a man devises and works out in his own mouth. And it's a whistle for this and that and the other. And the dogs understand the shepherd. Now, it's very interesting to me to observe these shepherds at work, But Jesus is telling the story. And he said, one sheep had gone astray. Now God, he indicated, is interested in that one sheep. And so the shepherd himself would go out into the highways and the byways and compel that one sheep to come in. And when the sheep was gathered upon his shoulders and he had walked the distance of today's grazing all over again, he brought the sheep in and he said to all the other shepherds and friends and relatives that were around, rejoice with me, for that which was lost is found. There's more rejoicing, said Jesus, in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I'm asking, is there some sinner out there that I don't know by name and I don't need to know? But is there some sinner whose sin has got him cornered and has trapped him into a deluge of wretchedness and his conscience is burning around him? Is there some sinner who needs to be found and knows it? Well, if you're listening to me, I'm saying this to you. Let Jesus find you. Put yourself in a position where he can find you and bring you into the fold. Now, that's all very well. It's a sort of generalized statement that Jesus was making, but it was also very pointed. It was causing the powers that be to be very uncomfortable. For he was saying, in effect, anybody can be saved. Anybody can come to God the Father, which is exactly what he did say. Well, there's a second part to this. And in verse 8, we read something very specific. What, said Jesus, what woman is there that if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which was lost. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, this is a great thing that is happening, for Jesus is getting very, very personal. And he is saying, if you lose your money bag, if you lose your wallet, and how many of us have done that? If you lose your essential baggage, then search for it. If you are lost and you don't know what to do, if you're in a condition and position where you're looking around for something to comfort you, someone to help you, then look away at Jesus and he will help you find what it is that you've lost. It's a curious and interesting thing that later on in this chapter, he talks very specifically about people who have divorced. And he says, those of you that have divorced have lost, he indicates this, a great blessing of being together with your spouse, bringing up your children the right way, and spending time with the Lord. You've lost something that is valuable. So valuable, you can't really calculate it. Then he says, now, you go and find what you've lost. I will say this to you as a preacher, as a friend, as a pastor. You can find peace in the presence of Jesus, and you can find riches galore in his presence, because that's what he wants for you. And he longs that you will repent and believe on him and take him into your heart and allow your heart to be cleansed by his blood. Now we come to the overall statement of all, where Jesus is talking in a much wider way. And he tells the story. We call it the story of the prodigal son. I'm going to abbreviate this a little because of the economy of time. But the young man went to his father and said, "Look, when you die, I'm going to receive half of the estate. I'm asking, can you give me my half of the estate now? Even though in a little while it will be much bigger if I'm patient. I'm impatient, I want my estate now, and I want to see what I can do with it." The father, I think somewhat reluctantly, says to the son, "All right, you can have the wealth that is yours." And the word is, and I take it up in verse 12, "So he divided his wealth between them," them being he and his older brother. And the man decides, and it was a plan he had, the young man had this plan, that he was going to go out into the world with his wealth, and with that wealth he was going to buy the contentment and joy that he thought he could buy with money. How many people are pressured today into buying things that they don't need, but they think if they do, they will be satisfied? Let me say this to you with a great chunk of love, and don't be offended with me. There isn't anything in this world that can satisfy your soul save the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus wants to save your soul. And he wants to bring your soul into the presence of God. Now, in order to do this, sometimes people do what this young man did. And he went off and he got hold of his money. And look at verse 13, where we are told, "The younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country." Now listen, "And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself to one of the citizens." Notice, this is all his doing. He had a ton of money. He had plenty of goods. He could make it. He could have a nice house. He could have a comfortable living. All he had to do was use what he was given by his father. But instead, according to the word of God here, he squandered it. And I'm asking this question today: how many of us have squandered our lives? We've squandered our experiences. We've squandered ourselves. A man that takes many women to himself, he puts his own strength into those women and finds that later on in life he has no strength at all. But he doesn't think of that. He just comes to the place where he thinks he's very clever and that he is using all that's necessary to give him a great shot in the arm at life. Here is the fellow, he's gone bankrupt. He's lost it all. A severe famine. It's like if I were to go into a factory and buy the factory or buy a portion of the factory, and suddenly nobody was buying what the factory was producing. That's a famine. That's a famine. Now what shall we do? Well, most people do what this fellow did. He found that he was getting impoverished. He didn't have any money. So he went and hired himself out to a farmer. And the farmer heard his voice and he knew that he was well educated, too well educated for the work he had to give him. And so he just said to him, Well, you can feed pigs if you like. And so he joined himself to that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Verse 16 tells us he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. And when he came to his senses, now this person comes to his senses. Have you noticed when you get yourself into a great pickle? It may be a business deal, it may be a family deal, it can be a myriad of things. But when you're like this prodigal son, empty and starving, and you don't know which way to turn, it's not very funny. I landed in Canada 45 years ago, and I had very little money. And so I got myself down to 10 cents I would spend on food. It bought a lot, really, but in comparison with today, it would buy a donut and endless cups of coffee. So I'd go to the donut shop, give them my 10 cents, and eat my donut and drink loads of coffee. While I was seeking to find where I was supposed to be and when all the arrangements I had thought I had made were to come full circle and hit me and be in front of me so that I could use them, I was in a desperate pickle and I lost a ton of weight. You don't need to go on a diet to lose weight, you just have to be broke. I waited on the Lord. There was no one else to wait on. He would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that were being given to the pigs. Pig food. He was going to eat, and did eat, pig food. Verse 17 tells us when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father. I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" So he got up and came to his father. Now that is the right step. Jesus said, when you pray, learn to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, holy and reverenced be your name." This young man learned the lesson, and he went to his father, but his father was looking for him. And you will find that when you turn your attention to God, the Father of all is looking for you, and he will see you when you're still a great way off, and he will come running toward you. The scripture says that if we will turn to God, God will turn to us. And if this country as a country will turn to God, God will turn to this country. But let's keep it small enough to understand. If you are desperate in the way you're living and you're in an awkward situation, come to the Father, and the Father will meet you and listen to what he says. He says to the slave that's there, he says, "Go and fetch this boy a robe and get a pair of shoes on his feet, and I imagine a bath to boot, and a ring on his finger." The ring is the ownership. This young man belongs to the living God. Let the symbol speak for itself. He sold his jewelry, he's wasted his substance in riotous living. He's been a fool, but now he's come home. Let's rejoice. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a feast. Let's have a party. For that which is lost is found. That which was dead is alive again. What a tremendous, expansive saying this was that Jesus taught people if they were listening. If you're listening to me, listen. The expansiveness of God is saying, come to me. I'll rest you. I'll keep you. I'll understand you. I'll put a ring on your finger. I'll put clothes on your back. I'll feed your belly. I'll give you what you need. And this young man, he had been very silly. We read verse 30, his brother is complaining about him. When this son of yours, he says to his father, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, and you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you've always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and is found. Isn't that wonderful? You see, the gospel of Jesus reaches you in your situation, and the Lord Jesus knew your situation long before you'd imagined it. Just as he knew you before the foundation of the world, he knew you'd get into a great big pickle. He knew you would wander off like a sheep. He knew you would tumble down and get amongst the things that are under a bed. He knew, if I go to a foreign country, if I go far away, I shall develop a great deal of acumen and be able to live riotously. I can do what I like. I can live my life my way. Jesus knew you'd think that, and he made a new and living way for you. And he said, come to me, come to me, come to the Father. Come to the Son, come to the Holy Spirit, come, come. It's a beautiful hymn. I'm not about to try to sing it to you, but my parents used to sing it around the house. They would duettis, they sang beautifully. It's all scripture, really. There were 99 that safely laid in the shelter of the fold. And it tells the story that I've just read to you from the Word of God. And it's beautiful because you're received by Jesus when you repent. You're received by God the Father when you turn back from sin. Acknowledge your sin. Repent and believe that Jesus Christ has taken away your sin and has washed you as white as the living snow. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but there was one that had gone astray, and the shepherd, Jesus, the good shepherd, went out again, tired perhaps, weary perhaps, but the shepherd went out to find you. And today he is reaching you with that crook that a shepherd carries, and he will lift you out of the prickles of the bush, and the prickly monster of the bush will not harm you. He will lift you out, and listen to this, he'll lay you gently upon his shoulder, and he will return to the fold, and he will say to everyone that will listen, look, he that was lost is found. He that was dead is alive again. Rejoice with me. Heaven will rejoice over your repentance. If you want to cause a disturbance in heaven, that's the way to do it. All the angels will assemble and sing, and there will be a great celebration, a great rejoicing over all that is done. Dear friends, listen to me carefully. Repent and believe the gospel. You're lost without it. It's time to come to Jesus. It's time to lay your head upon his shoulder and let him feed you with the living bread, the bread of heaven, that feeds you so that you want no more. Pray with me, please. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that those who are lost and can admit it today will come to you and believe in you and trust you. Oh, what a joy it is to know that some do this. Let there be many that do this. Lord, bring us all together that we may rejoice in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for being our Saviour. Thank you for being our Father who lives in heaven. Thank you for loving us just as we are, without one plea but that your blood was shed for each one of us. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Little anecdote on the end here. One day I was preaching on the radio. This is in the 1970s. I was in the Grand Ronde Valley in the city of Le Grand. And I was preaching up a storm, and it was live. We didn't have any delayed transmissions. And I was preaching away, and suddenly I realized that I'd overshot my time. And I said, oh, dear. I said, now those of you that have to leave us on the radio, you leave. But repent. I'm going to finish this sermon. And I finished it 15 minutes later. Several people received the Lord Jesus. But here is the thing that I want to tell you. Two people were driving from North Powder, and they got to the top of the summit of Cabbage Hill. They stopped their car, pulled over to the side, and listened to the rest of that sermon as it was produced that day. They both knelt down and opened their hearts to the Lord Jesus. They had a restaurant in North Powder, and both of them lived for the Lord Jesus. I know he has died of cancer, and I'm not sure what happened to the lady. Maybe she is still alive. But oh, what rejoicing there was in heaven. Can you be one of those that caused the angels to celebrate today? Well, think about it. Bye-bye.